Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I was out running today in nature, and I was running, and there were some trees, and there were birds in the trees singing. And, you know, in some trees, there was like a crow, and it was kind of an annoying sound, right? Right? And then there were other birds that were beautiful and singing. And I just had this moment where I went, well, that's kind of like me. Like, I'm just a, you know, if I want to make this analogy, I'm kind of like the tree. And in my brain, there's the crow who comes out and says, life sucks, right? You know? And then there's the bird who sings, it's beautiful. But at the end of the day, they're just birds singing. And thoughts are that way. So sometimes what I have to do is step back from the whole process and go, okay, these are just thoughts. They come, they go. They arise from God knows where and they disappear. Sometimes they sing lovely songs, sometimes they sing lousy songs, but they're not necessarily true.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today, our guest is a dad, a serial entrepreneur, and a podcast host, but also a behavior coach and author. He is endlessly inspired by the quest for a greater understanding of how our minds work and how to intentionally create the lives we want to live. At the age of 24, he was homeless, addicted to heroin, and facing long jail sentences. But in the years to come, he has found a way to recover from addiction, and he has built a life worth living. He is currently the host of the award-winning podcast, The One You Feed, with more than 15 million downloads, which is based on an old parable about two wolves at battle within us. I'm really curious. I know about this parable, and I'm really curious to find out more about our guest today. And most probably you guessed it, it's Eric Zimmer. Welcome, Eric.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure to have you on. So let us know a little bit more about this parable. I know about it, and I've actually listened to many viewpoints on it, and I think it's very powerful. And it resonates very well with the Gratitude Podcast and the idea of gratitude in general.
Yeah, well, I can just read the parable to you real quick, and that way the listeners kind of have the full perspective. So it's an old parable. We don't really know where it comes from. Some people think it's the Cherokee Indians. Other people dispute that, so I don't know where it comes from. But it's been around for a while, and it goes like this. There's a grandfather who's talking with his grandson. He says, in life, there are two wolves inside of us that are always at battle. One is a good wolf, which represents things like kindness and bravery and love. And the other is a bad wolf, which represents things like greed, hatred, fear. And the grandson stops, and he thinks about it for a second. He looks up at his grandfather, and he says, well, grandfather, which one wins? And the grandfather says, the one you feed. So that's the parable. And I think like most parables, when we hear it, we almost sort of immediately get it. It conveys a deep meaning that becomes very apparent to us once we hear it.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just love the way you you made this feel like we were there. And I can feel your experience in the field, and it's quite amazing to be able to have this conversation with you, and I'm really grateful for that. But I also wanted to go deeper and see, like, how can we actually feed the wolf that we want to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big question that I've spent 300 episodes or so exploring. So there's a lot of different things to it, right? But at the most basic, I think, is knowing what is the good wolf and what is the bad wolf to you. Mm. Like, what's important to you? What do you value? What do you want your life to be about? And if we know that, then we can start to be more intentional about what we do. But a lot of us aren't even really sure of that. And we're just kind of moving through life with whatever appears to us, and sort of on, you know, autopilot. And that's largely why I started the podcast for myself, was I felt like that was kind of what was happening. I wasn't being as intentional about what I did with my time, what I did with my attention, what I did with my thoughts. And I wanted to take more, control's the wrong word, but I wanted to have a more active role in shaping the direction of my life. And the parable sort of points to, the thing we get when we hear it very quickly is that our actions and the things we think about have consequences. Mm-hmm. And so, so I think the first place to start is, what does that mean to you? What's your good wolf? What does feeding the good wolf mean to you? Like, I know what it means for me. And, you know, your podcast is about gratitude. Gratitude is one great way of feeding the good wolf. The good wolf in to me is being grateful for what I have, for seeing the blessings that are actually in my life. The bad wolf is seeing everything that isn't in my life, or everything that's wrong with my life, or everything that's missing. And I think at any moment, both those things can be kind of true. There's a lot of wonderful things in my life, and there are some things in my life that maybe I wouldn't choose to be the way they are. But since they're both true, where do I want to put my attention?
Yeah.
And gratitude is a great way of redirecting that. Okay, let me move away from everything that's wrong, and let me spend a little time thinking about what's right. And gratitude's a really powerful tool to do that. So it is a big way that I think that we feed our good wolf.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think there are many ways that are indeed very personal and very specific, but what I think when I think about feeding the good wolf, and like you said, awareness is very important, and it has a lot to do with what's going on in our head. Like, okay, our actions as well, they matter a lot, but for me it has a lot to do with our inner world, and mm-hmm. and it's something that we don't explore as much as a society. Like, we are more into the things that are seen outside, but I think this inner world is very important, and this is like the source for what's going on the outside as well. And in this regard, I was thinking, what could be other things aside from gratitude that can feed the good wolf?
Well, I think for me, some of the keys are, you know, gratitude we talked about. I think for me, there are some things that I consider sort of fundamental to my well-being. Things like exercise, eating well, meditation. I think that those sort of set a foundation for me that puts me in a place to feed the good wolf. When I'm not doing those things, when I'm not exercising, when I'm not eating well, when I'm not meditating, I feel like I just naturally drift towards more negativity. I naturally drift towards more tiredness, towards not feeling good. And that makes everything sort of an uphill battle. And so I really look at, for me, those things set the foundation that allow me to start from a place of a little bit of positivity. You in the introduction, you read my struggles with addiction, but I've also dealt with depression sort of my whole adult life. And those three things, exercise, eating well, and meditation, sort of keep the depression at bay and allow me to sort of start from a level playing field. When I'm not doing those things, it's almost like the bad wolf is stronger. So they're not very exciting, right? They're not, I wish there was an easier thing, like just, think positive thoughts. But for me, we're human beings and the physical part of me really is important. It needs tended to. And so that's a starting place for me. From there, things like gratitude, helping others, making sure that I am getting contact with people, that I'm not isolated, that I'm not alone. Those are some of the main things.
Yeah, it's very interesting how they get combined and how they can actually get us in a virtuous circle. In my experience, for instance, when I meditate, I tend to look for healthier food. It's very natural to go for foods that are healthier when I meditate, or when I do my gratitude practice, it's also easier to exercise, So it's very interesting how they build on each other. Have you seen this with other people, like in your coaching experience, when we get to start with one of them, can we get from one to the other and to start this virtuous circle?
I think so. I love that phrase, virtuous circle. The other phrase that calls to mind is sort of an upward spiral, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that, yes, these things naturally sort of complement each other. Exercising, yeah, just makes me want to eat better. Eating better makes me have more energy and not feel lousy, so I'm more inclined to exercise. Meditation helps me to have a little bit more focus on what's important. And when I have a little bit more focus on what's important, I go, oh, taking care of myself is important. So they all feed off each other. And the question is, do you try and do them all to start? Do you do one at a time? And it depends on who you are and kind of where you're starting from. With some people that I coach, we're able to sort of say, hey, they may have one or two of those things going anyway. And so then we build on it. We find it fairly easy to sort of put in a routine that sort of incorporates those things. In other cases, we start small and we go, like, let's just add, how about 15 minutes of walking a day, right? It depends where are you starting from and what are you dealing with? What's your current level of capability? If somebody is battling massive depression, we're going to start in a different place than we are somebody who's functioning at a slightly higher level. So it just sort of depends, but I think they all do interact with each other in a positive way, in a virtuous circle, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. And what are the things that make us stay with bad habits? Like things that we know that are hurting us one way or another, but we're still doing them.
Well, that is a complex question because for a couple of different reasons. One is we could be talking about something that's relatively minor, like eating a candy bar a couple times a week, to heroin addiction, right? So bad habits really run from, relatively trivial to absolutely life-destroying. But I think that underlying it all is an essential inability to tolerate the way we feel. Mm. So almost all bad habits And even a lot of things that we don't do, like procrastination, I often refer to them as a failure of emotional regulation. And what I mean by that is the emotion, there's an emotion that's present and we don't like it. We can't tolerate it. And so we make it go away. And so again, that can be relatively minor, like I go eat. But if I do that often enough and constantly enough, that becomes a real problem. Or you can take it to the extreme like me and you put a needle in your arm to avoid feeling. And so ultimately, I think that all of these things, and there's a lot of strategies for bad habits. And it's, again, from, you know, I've got a good friend who's been dealing with addiction and we've been doing all kinds of stuff. Now he's in like inpatient treatment for at least 45 days. Like that's what it's going to take. And hopefully that's enough. Mm-hmm. So I hate to sort of prescribe for conditions that are widely varying, but in the end, people who get over these things, they allow the negative emotion to be there. They give themselves some sort of compassion for the way they're feeling, and they realize it'll pass. And then they do an action that's in accordance with their values. So, you know, if we want to take my addiction, right? A negative emotion comes up and I feel really anxious and afraid about the future. And so my desire, the way I make that go away is I go and I take a drug, right? And so now that thing is there, what do I do? Well, the first thing I think is to just realize like, okay, here is fear. Okay, I can be afraid. Fear is not going to kill me. There's a phrase I love that emotions are not emergencies, right? Mm-hmm. But often we treat them that way. We feel a certain way, we have to change it. And so, all right, here is fear. Okay, I can be with fear. I'm okay. It's okay that I'm feeling fear. It's normal. People feel it. It's okay. What's it like in my body? Okay, my heart's racing. Okay, I just settle into it, right? And then I go, all right, what is my value in this moment? And my value in this moment is that I'm not going to do drugs. Right? So I'm allowing the emotion to be, and I'm connecting with what's important to me, what matters. And then I'm acting that way. And you said earlier that our inner life is really important and that a lot of our society is really focused on outer things. And that is absolutely true in that we often focus on outer things as the answer to our inner conditions, right?
Exactly.
However, our external actions also do affect our internal action, right?
Definitely.
And so I think that it's finding the way, but ultimately it's about being able to tolerate negative emotion. I would say that's the biggest change between me being an addict and me not being an addict is my ability to go, ugh, yuck, I do not feel good. Okay, what can I do to make it better that's not destructive, right? And how can I have some degree of tolerance for negative emotion? So I think that's underlying a lot of bad habits. And again, this goes from like, I feel bored, so I get on my phone and play Candy Crush, to I was sexually abused as a child, and these terrible feelings of trauma come up, right? And so then I'm off to do drugs. I mean, they can be wildly different in our ability to work with them. And so in a lot of cases, we need real help. And in other cases, we can work with ourselves and we can learn to sort of regulate our emotions. It's a term I like, emotional regulation, or psychological flexibility is sort of another idea, or emotional agility. But it all conveys this sense of being able to work more skillfully with emotion and not let our current mood drive our behavior.
Wow. I love this concept. And I think it's so impactful, like this emotional side. And especially for us as guys, like we are not supposed to think about emotions or to be aware of them or to recognize that we feel fear or we have different kinds of feelings. And it's something that's very powerful, because once we become aware of the feelings, and like you said that we regulate the emotions and we allow ourselves to actually experience them and to be aware of what's happening inside of us, that actually gives us a huge, huge power, and it makes us much stronger as human beings in general. And what I also wanted to add was that even though the podcast is about gratitude, for me it's very important that our listeners like don't use gratitude just to run away from the other emotions, the so-called negative emotions, because it's not the solution. Like, it can help you in the moment, but I don't believe that you can solve all of the things just with gratitude. And that's why there are many things that are helping us one way or another.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said there. I mean, I think that being aware of what's happening emotionally is helpful, because oftentimes if we're not aware, we're being driven by it. We just don't know it.
Exactly.
Right. And so that's the thing, that the male idea of, okay, I don't feel emotions. Is that, well, you are, you just may not be aware of the way that that's unconsciously driving you. Trying not to feel an emotion is a way of coping with them. Right. And it has its own, consequences to it. And so, you know, and I think ultimately for me, it's emotions are just, there's a lot of different description of what an emotion is, but on one hand, it is a evolutionary signal to action, right? It tells us something, right? And so the thing is to be aware of it. What is the message that we're being sent, and then deal with it skillfully. So by emotional regulation, I do not mean emotional suppression, right? It's a very different thing. But I also don't mean that you do whatever your emotions say. It's sort of a middle ground, right? If you think on one hand of, I have an emotion, I must make it go away. Don't think about it. Don't feel it. Go, 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 go. Do a drug, whatever. Suppression. On the other hand is, whatever I feel, I do. Right? And that's not exactly it either. So we don't want our emotions driving our lives and our decisions and our behavior. We want our values doing that. And so it's this middle ground of, okay, I'm not going to indulge or repress my emotions. I'm going to allow them to be there. I'm going to allow them to do what they do. I'm going to learn what I can learn from them. But then I'm going to act in the way that I've decided is important. And I often talk about this with coaching clients. And I use the analogy of a higher and a lower self. And I don't love that analogy, actually, but I'll use it because I think we kind of understand it, right? There's this higher self that can sort of sit back and go, well, what's important to me? Okay, well, let's see. Spending quality time with my children is really important to me. Doing good at work, and, you know, when I'm at work, actually working and not spending a lot of time on Facebook or my local or a sports news site, right? That's really important to me. Eating well is important to me because I want to live for a long time and I want to be healthy. So those are the things that our higher self can sort of sit back and go, this is what matters to me. This is what's important to me. And then as we go through our day, our quote unquote lower self shows up. Right. And our lower self is the self that gets tired. It's the self that gets hungry. It's the self that gets moody. It's all of those things. And we don't need to make that go away, but we do want to say, hang on, I'm going to orient towards these values that my higher self was able to think of when it wasn't going through the sort of grind of day-to-day stuff. And that's ultimately what this is all about. And I sort of referenced it in the very beginning about, what is feeding your good wolf about? What is your life about? What matters to you? And how do we then translate your values, these things that matter to you, into the actions that you take in your life and the thoughts that you have in your life? Because we can't control emotion. Right. One of the things I realized was, like, emotion, you can't just grab it and move it. You can't go just be happier and grab, you know, your emotion and move it from sad to happy. It doesn't really work that way. Our thoughts, we have a little bit more control over. we can't control what thoughts come. If you sit down and meditate, you'll see this almost immediately, like, holy mackerel, I'm sitting here, I'm trying to not think, and they just keep coming. Where are they coming from? It's kind of mysterious, right? Can't control them. Now, we can control what we do after they show up. We can control to some extent. This is what meditation is a practice in, and what it really teaches us is, okay, here comes that thought train. I don't have to get on board. I'm just going to kind of watch it go by, right? And so we have a little bit of control over thoughts, and then we have a lot of control over behavior. And it turns out that behavior is a lever that's easy for us to pull that can then affect thoughts and emotions. And an example being, I'm feeling really down and kind of lousy and sort of gloomy, and I go out and I run. And when I'm done running, the world looks different. I was able to sort of move emotion and my thoughts by a behavior. And so I refer to myself as a behavior coach with people, because what I'm doing, what we're really focusing on, is what is the thing that we have the most control over? What lever can we pull? Well, we can pull the lever of behavior, and that is going to help adjust all these other things. But it's important to know what values we want to do, because that then translates to what are those behavioral what are those behavioral levers that we can pull?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This makes a lot of sense. And I'm curious, like, I know some of my values and they are pretty clear for me. But if someone isn't clear about their values, how can they find out what their values are and what's important for them?
Yeah, I think that it's really, I mean, you can go out and, you know, look on the internet for lots of different, you know, exercises for finding your values. But one way is to sort of think through, here's one kind of simple way to do it. And it is, you think through, what are the roles that you have in your life? You know, we all have some sort of common roles. We have a role as a worker, right? Most of us work in some way or the other. So that's a role. A lot of us, we are family members of different sorts. We might be a parent, we might be a son, we might be a brother, we might be a husband, right? But we have those roles, okay? And then we might have some roles in our personal life. We are an athlete, or we are a musician, or we are, so we think through kind of what those are. And then we think about, how do we want to show up in those situations? What's important to me about work? What are my values around work? What are my values when it comes to dealing with my children? What are my values when it comes to dealing with my parents? What are my values around how I spend my free time? What is it that I want to do? And so it's a process. It takes, the problem is it just takes time and thought, and it's not something we love to do because it's hard. And we often think that we need to have very flowery value statements and we need to get this all written out and it's got to be perfect. But oftentimes I think it doesn't have to be that complicated.
It doesn't.
Often people will say, well, how do I know if I'm feeding the good or bad wolf? And I'll say, well, in a lot of cases, if you get quiet enough and you just really try and be honest in your internal self, and you'll feel it. You know, I often, a very simple sort of thing that I often do with myself and with other people is a very sort of basic idea. And the basic idea is that for me, a good life, a positive life, the right values feel like some sort of flowing out of myself. They feel like I'm getting bigger, I'm getting broader, I see more, I feel more. They're this outward flowing thing. It feels like more space. And for me, the things that are not so good for me tend to be, they feel more constricting. They feel like I'm collapsing. My perspective is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can think about a value, or you can think about something and go, well, what does that prompt in me? What direction does that take me? How do I feel when I do that action? Or how do I feel when I have that thought? It gives you a sense. We have an internal compass. We're not very used to listening to it, but it's there.
That's amazing. It's really a great way of, I think it has to do with gratitude. Like when we are clear on the things that we want for ourselves, and we are clear on the things that are important for us, we get to experience more gratitude because we are focused on those kinds of things. And I think even if it's not the easiest process, I invite our listeners to think about the roles from their personal life, from their work life, and what are their values, at least one or two, to identify them. Because it makes so much sense. Once you know your values and what's important for you, you have that, how can I say, like that thing that's always keeping your head up and towards something positive rather than maybe getting lost in all kinds of small things that that aren't in accord with the real values and with the important parts of life. And I love this perspective. I think it's very, very helpful to have that.
I agree 100%. I think that was very well said.
Thank you. But there are things that aren't that easy to deal with. Like when we want to feel good, when we want to take our life in a certain direction, and we face different challenges that are really making it harder for us to go through this process and to find gratitude, for instance. Do you have some tips for us when we're going through challenges?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's a very broad question, and challenges take all different natures. But I think maybe I'll hone in on this idea of we find it really hard to feel gratitude. So I think there's a couple of ways that I look at this, right? And as I said earlier, like emotions, it's hard to change an emotion directly. You just can't grab it, right? You just can't, like, it's not something we have directly under our control. So if you back up from that, you go, well, what are the other things? I've got thoughts and I've got actions, right? And so a way to work on feeling gratitude is to express gratitude, right? When I was in recovery early on in 12-step programs, there was a saying that gratitude is an action word, which is an interesting thing. Or John F. Kennedy says, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. And so oftentimes what I find is if I'm not feeling especially grateful, I can try and express gratitude. Or if I'm not feeling very generous, I can still try and be generous. And that often brings the feeling along with it.
Wow. Wow. I love this perspective.
So, you know, one of the things I've said on my podcast, probably more than anything else, is sometimes we can't think our way into right action. We have to act our way into right thinking. And so that is one way of doing it. What we do, our actions that we take, can influence how we feel. I think the other thing that can happen is sometimes if I'm just sort of in a dark mood and I'm having thoughts, you know, and I'm thinking about what I'm grateful for, and I'm just nothing. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, whatever, right? It just isn't resonating. A lot of times for me, it's really difficult to go from really negative mood and thinking to something positive. So what I try and do, what I find helpful in those cases often, is an idea, which is to sort of distance myself from the whole thinking process. And so what I mean by that is to become less fused with my thoughts, to start to see them as just that, thoughts. Because I can try and take a negative thought and make it positive, but anybody who's done this often knows that it feels really fake.
Yeah.
You just don't feel it. You're like, what, whatever. And so what can be helpful to me in that situation is to step back and examine the whole process and go, oh, okay, those are just thoughts. An example I had today, I came up with this analogy while I was out running today in nature, and I was running and there were some trees and there were birds in the trees singing. And, you know, in some trees there was like a crow and it was kind of an annoying ugh sound, right? Right. And then there were other birds that were beautiful and singing. And I just had this moment where I went, well, that's kind of like me. Like, I'm just a, you know, if I want to make this analogy, I'm kind of like the tree. And in my brain, there's the crow who comes out and says, life sucks, right? You know? And then there's the bird who sings, it's beautiful. But at the end of the day, they're just birds singing. And thoughts are that way. So sometimes what I have to do is step back from the whole process and go, okay, these are just thoughts. They come, they go. They arise from God knows where and they disappear. Sometimes they sing lovely songs, sometimes they sing lousy songs, but they're not necessarily true. Same thing with emotions. Emotions just sort of come and they go. And so people who've looked at meditation much or have probably heard this analogy, which is often like, you think of yourself like the sky, right? The sky is just sort of there and the weather moves through. The good weather, the sunny day, the puffy clouds, the bad weather, the rain, the snow, the wind, thunder, lightning. But the sky is always just the sky. It's always still okay. And so what we can do is take that step back from being fused with our thoughts, which is like, I am my thoughts, what I think is me, to that one step back that says, wait, I notice that I'm having this thought. And so that's often the way for me. I can't go from a negative thought to a positive thought. That often, sometimes that works, right? But a lot of times it doesn't. I have to distance myself from I have to see the whole process unfold and go, okay, thoughts. All right, good ones, bad ones. I don't like it when I have bad thoughts. I don't like it when I have bad emotions, but that's all they are. You know, it's back to that idea of emotions aren't emergencies and emotional regulation. It's this sort of more patient watching and allowing things to sort of play out, like change what I can change, do what I can do, right? Work with my thoughts as skillfully as I can, take the actions I can take. And then when I'm stuck in a certain place, like there it is, let it be. Like there's just times where my depression comes and it doesn't matter what I really do, it's there. But I've learned to relate to it very differently. I've learned to relate to it in a much more patient, open way where I often treat, you know, I often talk about my depression as sort of like having the emotional flu. And when we have the flu or a cold, we're usually smart enough to know like, okay, I don't feel good. I'm going to rest a little bit. You know, everything seems crappy, but it's because I've got a cold. When the cold goes, I'll feel better, right? I often feel the same way with like depression. I'm like, well, it's like having the emotional flu. Let me take good care of myself and it will pass. And let me not make a big deal out of it. Let me not start questioning my entire life. What am I doing with life? You know, everything I've done is wrong. I mean, everything just looks kind of crappy. So I just sort of go, well, that's the way it's going to be. Let me take care of myself and just kind of wait for this to pass.
I really love your perspective on this. And I was actually thinking about your analogy with the sky and with weather. Like when there's a cloudy day, you know that it just means that it's cloudy and those clouds will pass and everything's going to be all right again.
Right.
And I think that's that perspective has many, many beautiful values and emotions in it, like compassion, acceptance, love. And they are very powerful. Like when we look at ourselves and at our states from this point of view, it really makes a huge difference, and it's really very, very empowering. But I also wanted to get to something else with you. Actually, you spoke about some things that you are grateful for. And I'm just curious, what are you grateful for today or in this period in your life?
So many things, actually. I'm at a point in life where I think there's a lot of really good things in life. I'm grateful that I have the podcast that I have, that I am able to do the work that I do, that this is what I do for a living now. It took me years of doing the podcast and coaching while I held another job, but now this is what I get to do, and I feel like incredibly grateful for that. I'm grateful for the listeners of the show who listen. Some of them provide financial support. They grateful the people who sign up for my coaching. I'm grateful for my partner. She's amazing. I'm grateful that it's a cold day here in Columbus and I'm inside and it's warm. I mean, the list just kind of goes on and on. And I'm kind of in that space where I can feel that today. You could catch me on another day and say, what are you grateful for? And I would go, well, I can give you a list, but I don't feel any of it, you know? So today I sort of feel it. But, you know, the number of things I'm grateful for is enormous. I'm grateful that I'm healthy. I'm grateful that I can... I went out and ran today. It was a beautiful morning, a little cool, and the leaves are changing, and it was beautiful out. So those are a few of the things.
Actually, you've also anticipated one of my questions, which is, who are the people in your life that you're grateful for? Because one of the things that make us feel grateful, one of the reasons why we are grateful, is the people we have in our life. So if you want to mention a few people, that would be lovely.
Yeah, well, I mentioned my partner. She is wonderful after a lifetime of bad relationships. I think I finally figured it out and, you know, am blessed with somebody who's supportive and kind and loving and all of that. I'm grateful for my son. He's at college and he's doing very well. I'm grateful for a couple of men in my life who are dead now, but who were sort of mentors to me. I'm grateful. I have a Zen teacher, Paul, who I'm grateful for. My friends, friend Chris. I just, my sister was in town and I'm very grateful for her. So a long list of people.
Yeah, I can imagine. And to be honest, this question isn't as much about getting to as many people as possible, but to actually make us all think about the people in our life that we are grateful for and that have made an impact one way or another. So that's my idea with this question, and I'm really happy that you mentioned so many people. And since we are nearing the end of our time together, let our audience know where they can find you, where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the easiest place is you can go to oneyoufeed.net. And from there, you can hear the podcast. You can see how to get in touch with me about my coaching. There's all kinds of stuff there about who we are and what we do. So oneyoufeed.net. It's oneyoufeed.net.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here with us and for being such a great partner in this interview. And if you have like one idea that you would love our audience to ponder on or to stay with, to think about at the end of our time together, share it with us.
Yeah, I think the thing that I usually say when I'm asked for like, what's my one piece of advice? It's a quote by Arthur Ashe, and I never get it quite right, but it's something like, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. And I love that because it means wherever you are and whatever is happening, there is a way for you to take a step forward. There's a way for you to move a little bit from where you are to where you want to be. And so just take that small step, no matter how small it is, take a step. You're not stuck. You're not trapped. There are ways to improve your situation, whatever it is. You may not be able to improve it as much as you would want to, but I almost always think there are ways that we can make where we are a little bit better. And so I'd encourage you to do that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, and you're a very, very good interviewer, so thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.